You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
A lot of conversation about Dak Prescott's future. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. A lot of conversation also about the movie franchises. That's out there for you guys at 888-SAY-ESPN, at UnsportsESPN. As this, week and a half, we have two big things that come out. Bad Boys 4 trailer, which I'm all in on. And then the rumors about Happy Gilmore 2,
yeah.
Right? So we've been asking the question today about the movie franchise that you don't care how many of them they make, you'll see all of them.
I don't understand with the Bad Boys movie, why didn't they just call it Bad Boys 4? Why do we have to do Bad Boys Ride or Die? Like, it was Bad Boys for Life, which was part 3. Okay, cool. I thought that was going to be the final installment.
Yeah,
but then it's like, we're going to come up with another one. Like, it's just like, why couldn't you just make this Bad Boys 4?
Well, because Bad Boys 4 should have been Bad Boys 4 Life, and they ruined it by making it the third one.
No way, Pat. You're angry about that?
That's a great point. That's a great job by you, Pat.
And Bad Boys 4 Life is really good.
Oh, that's it? I thought Nuno was talking.
I was going to say something, but it was probably an inappropriate joke, so we'll move on.
Oh, well, now
okay.
Now we have to hear it.
Nope.
No,
you can't do that.
It's just that ride or die. I mean, Canty's talking about how old these guys were, you know?
Oh, that dying would be the option is what he's saying.
Yeah. We're going to ride or die.
Actually.
So we're going to kill one of them off in the movie?
They did. They did. They killed the captain off in the last
spoiler
one.
Spoiler alert.
Whatever.
Jeez, yeah, I haven't even seen it.
Jeez, right? Evan.
Came out 3 years ago.
That's
stop
a great
it.
Point. That's another great point by you.
Actually, maybe even longer than that because it was pre-pandemic. But anyway, so in this one, in the trailer that's out there, the captain had this video that he left in case he was killed off. And that they're trying to set it up that he was some sort of bad guy and dealing with all of the guys that were dealing the drugs in Miami and everything like that. So that's the theme of the movie. So the dying part actually is true in this case. So Nuno kind of got it right. Anyway, so we have a lot of good answers out there, including Equalizer, which CeCe and I love. Smalls hasn't seen
Equalizer, Smalls, get involved.
Okay.
It's Equalizer 72. CeCe and I are going to the premiere coming up in 100 years. So we will be there for that Equalizer 72.
And that was the first sequel that Denzel Washington had ever done in his career.
Oh,
the
really?
Equalizer.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's the first sequel that he'd ever done. Him and Antoine Fuqua got a good thing going on. Like, them Equalizer movies, keep making them joints. I'll keep going to see it.
Okay.
They'll keep getting my hard-earned money.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that one. So, yesterday, Kimberly A. Martin joined our show, and she made an interesting comment here, our NFL reporter, about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
I see Dak in a Cowboys uniform beyond this year only if he wins a Super Bowl. Like, to me, it's almost like you would never see Josh Allen in this situation. You would never see any quarterback in this situation. And you've got Mike McCarthy, who's a guy, is he going to be the coach next year? I don't know. Jerry's 80-something years old, and he's just sort of like, you know, we'll see what happens. I would not take this approach with a quarterback that I believe is my guy. So that just leaves me to think, okay, y'all aren't sure.
So this is interesting because the idea of a top 10 quarterback in the NFL on an expiring contract where that person can be an unrestricted free agent in the offseason with no ability for the team to franchise that player. I don't know that we have seen many of those ever, right? Because Kirk Cousins leaves the Minnesota Vikings to go to the Atlanta Falcons. I think off of the injury, we would not consider him a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think the only time we've seen that is like the arranged situation like Brady where they knew, hey, this could be the end. We're doing this as kind of a thank you for the last 20 years. It'll be your decision what happens next with Belichick. This is an odd situation, but let's play out the hypothetical, Smalls. The Dallas Cowboys go to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. He doesn't get $60 million a year after that?
I think if he gets to the Super Bowl and he loses to Patrick Mahomes, he's going to get the deal. If he gets there, I don't know how Jerry could not give him the deal, especially when Jerry's already come out and said, I stand firm in my belief that Dak can win a Super Bowl. So if he gets them past the NFC Championship game, they get over that hurdle, they get to the Super Bowl, I don't know in what world Jerry Jones would think removing Dak Prescott from that equation would be beneficial for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm not too sure that they don't get a deal done this offseason. Like, I mean, there are a couple of spots in the calendar where you look for player movement, but also for organizations to extend offers to players, you know, start a free agency. I call it pre-agency, you know, before the 48 to 72 hours before the start of the new league year. Around the draft, you see a lot of player movement and then teams extending guys, and then right before training camp. I think this is going to come down to right before training camp for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, it feels like it's a penny-wise, pound-foolish move by Jerry Jones, because if you were going to extend him this offseason, why not do it at the start of the offseason when you could add other players to the roster and lower Dak Prescott's cap hit? But Jerry Jones has shown that he is not going to do things on the player's terms. He's going to do things on his terms. And I think as we get closer to the season, the organization is able to get a little more leverage back, right? And I understand that Dak has a full no trade. I understand that Dak has a full no tag. But Dak Prescott is still faced with the proposition of going into the season without any guaranteed money beyond 2024. And that is daunting for a player that's on the wrong side of 30, even though he plays the quarterback position. We know that quarterbacks, even off of catastrophic injuries, can get the bag, see Kirk Cousins, but also see what happened with Dak Prescott when he got his big deal from the Dallas Cowboys. The only thing I would say to that is there is still a risk that comes along with playing football. And we have a saying in the NFL, the next play could be your last. And I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to get at, you know, Dak Prescott's career mortality. But if you have the opportunity to get a huge bag of money from the Dallas Cowboys, even though it might not be the deal that you absolutely want, it might end up being the deal that you have to take if you're Dak.
So if you believe that is going to come true, right? They signed the deal late in training camp, right before the season. What is their best move now moving forward? Is it to actually prepare themselves to best compete this year or in years to come? Because the Dak extension will not help them this year in any way, shape, or form. Does it then benefit them to say, well, let's make sure we're good 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now? As odd as that sounds, because is it, hey, we're going to actually trade some guys to get picks for the future? Because you're not doing anything to help yourself this year at all.
But they told us that they were all in. And they haven't taken that approach. And all in would signify that this is the year to do it, no? And if you're going to pay Dak and you're going to try to find a way to pay Micah and pay CeeDee Lamb, that's going to hinder the way that you can go about building your team moving forward. It would seem to me if they were going to go all in, this would be the year to do it for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
Outside of the ones I just mentioned, also your head coach could be out the door if you don't reach a certain level of success. So why would you say you're all in and all arrows are pointing to you needing to be all in this year, having that sense of urgency because of the talent you have and the makeup of your team moving forward, but yet it seems like they're doing nothing to back up that rhetoric that they've given us?
Yeah, and I wonder what if Dak's really going to go and sign this contract. I understand what CeCe said. I've been saying all along I don't see it happening. Dak has been pretty open about the fact that he loves his head coach, Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it is I'm signing a contract, and I know it's life-changing generational wealth money, right? So it's not going to be I'm going to hold it up over one person. But in theory, you could be signing that contract to play for yet another head coach if you're Dak Prescott. Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up yesterday and gave an interesting comparison as to Dak Prescott's free agency coming up.
He who finds a quarterback finds a good thing. And so when you get that quarterback and you lock into that marriage and that is your person, you are never going to sit at home and one day and tell your person, you can go be on The Bachelorette. I don't love you enough to lock you in. Jerry Jones has said that next year we're going to let you go on The Bachelorette because I can do bad all by myself. And so when you look at this team, not only are we saying you have to go out and play a certain way, win a certain amount of games, get us to a certain point for us to keep you, we are also not going to give you the necessary tools to do so.
I mean, he's kind of right about that, no?
Big time. Jerry Jones says that he thinks he can win a Super Bowl with Dak, and he's very effusive publicly in his praise for Dak. Yet his actions don't always match his words, because he has put Dak in this position before where he's like, we like you, but we only like you on our terms. Same thing here. It's like, we think you can win a Super Bowl, but not at the price that you want. He hasn't given him that rose, so to speak, going back to Ryan Clark's Bachelorette comparison, that he should have. And I would imagine that if you really believed everything you were saying, you would have acted with that sense of urgency, because you want to make sure that he's going to be in the building not only this season, but moving forward. And you want to make sure that he's happy and that he feels wanted. I just don't see that out of Dallas. They're acting as if he's great, but he's not their first option.
Yeah, I keep coming back to one other thing. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not sure that I even want to be on the Dallas Cowboys pass this season, because I know other teams would give me more money, and I know I would have as much of a chance to win it all with other teams as I would this team. Because I don't.
Are you sure, though? I don't know.
Well,
about
I don't
that.
Have a chance to win it all with this team.
I don't know about that. Well, why do you say that?
Because they've never gotten to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but
game.
This is a talented roster, though.
Of course,
like,
it
it's undoubtedly so. I mean, they were top five in offense and defense last year. Like, the Will McClay, their senior personnel director, he does a phenomenal job of putting talent on this roster. I mean, he drafted CeeDee Lamb, all-pro wide receiver. They drafted Michael Parsons, the best defensive player in all of football. Like, you have a lot of really good pieces. You got a guy in De'Ron Bland who was a defensive player of the year candidate, and you had Trayvon Diggs 2 years ago led the league in interceptions.
And you've never been to the NFC title
and
game.
That's all fair. I understand that. I'm just saying, from a culture standpoint, you might have an issue, but from a talent standpoint, you got everything you could ask for from a quarterback, and including the last 4 years being able to make the kind of money that you wanted to make. So if you're Dak, I'm not so sure that there is going to be a ready-made better situation than what's in Dallas from a talent standpoint. Maybe you could argue that with culture. Maybe you could argue that with coaching. You can't argue that with talent. Last thing I'll say about this. We've seen how Jerry Jones likes to do business with his own. And more often than not, when it comes to giving a bag of money to the guys that he's drafted, the guys that he's developed, he does it on the eve or around training camp. Terrence Steele last year, he gave him a bag of money early September. Zach Martin, they worked out a new contract or an extension during training camp. I mean, we've seen it time and time. Trayvon Diggs, when he got his new big deal, happened around training camp. So I think we've got to start looking at this thing, you know, late July. Maybe there's the potential for the two sides to come together and hammer out a long-term deal. Now, Dan Graziano said financially it makes more sense for Dallas to wait until after the season. But to your point, after the season, there are all of these other teams that are going to try to court Dak Prescott. If you're Jerry Jones, I don't think you want to entertain the possibility of life after Dak Prescott. I think that is the drop-dead date that Jerry and Stephen Jones have in terms of getting a Dak extension done. Don't let it be a distraction that looms over the season. You take care of the business during training camp. That way everybody can go into the season with an understanding that Dak Prescott is the quarterback for 2024 and beyond.
You mentioned Graz. He'll join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dan Graziano is here, ESPN NFL reporter, walking into a conversation we were having here about Dak Prescott. Kimberly A. Martin sat here yesterday and said the only way she sees him back in Dallas, or the only way that Jerry will give him the contract that he wants, is if he wins the Super Bowl. Where are you on this, Ross?
Oh, I don't agree. I mean, I think the Cowboys see Dak as a guy that's going to be there a long time, and that's how they approach it every time I've spoken to them about him. So, no, I don't think it's win the Super Bowl or bust. I mean, look, if they flame out early in the playoffs again, like they usually do, could everyone reassess? Sure, but I mean, I don't think it's a matter of, I mean, if the Cowboys get to the Super Bowl or even if they get to the conference championship game, I'm pretty sure they'll feel good enough about Dak Prescott to sign him back up.
You just can't say that deadpan, like if they fall short in the playoffs like
well,
they always do.
I mean, like we, 30 years, right? They haven't been to the conference championship game. Like that's not, yeah, and that, I'm not like speaking out of turn. They know that about themselves. Yeah. They usually leave the playoffs before they should.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I was making the point earlier that Jerry Jones, when it comes to doing business with his own, you see a lot of movement around training camp, right before training camp, or right on the eve of the regular season kicking off. Like just thinking back to Trayvon Diggs when he got his big deal, mm-hmm. Terrence Steele and Zach Martin a year ago. Like we've seen the Dallas Cowboys do business that time. Now you were outlining why it was more advantageous for the Cowboys to actually do a deal after 2024 as opposed to before the season. Can you explain that to the layman?
So right now he's carrying, Dak Prescott's carrying a $55 million cap charge for this year, for 2024. And right now, if nothing else happens and he goes and signs somewhere else, right, in 2025, they would still have a $40 million cap charge on him for next year in dead money because of the result of the contract he's got. So it makes more sense for them to wait. If they were to extend him now and reduce this year's number, that would add to next year's number. And next year, we don't anticipate the cap going up $30 million again like it did this year. So they're trying to be protective of next year's cap. And if they did the extension next year before the league year starts, then they can knock that $40 million down a little bit more than they could if they did it right now. I could get into exactly why, but I think people would probably fall asleep and drive off the road. So suffice it to say, against the salary cap, it would be better for them to wait until next year, next, you know, February, whatever, to do the deal. Now, that carries risk because at that point, you know, he's looking at free agency and you know, teams aren't allowed to, but sometimes you do get a sense of what's out there in terms of your market at that point. So, but I think, you know, the ideal situation would be if everybody had an understanding of what was going to happen and they just all understood it was going to wait till after the Super Bowl.
Dan, the NFL owners meeting is always interesting. What's a big takeaway that you had after those days?
I think if anybody tells you that they know how the quarterbacks are going to come off the board at the top of the draft, I think they're lying to you. I don't think Washington knows what they're going to do yet. I think they're still going through their process at two. The Bears look like they're going to take Caleb Williams, but, you know, he still hasn't been there, right? He still hasn't done his top 30 visit. He still hasn't had a physical with them. So, you know, I think we can be pretty sure about that one. But then at two, I don't know if Washington likes May or Daniels. I don't know if they're a candidate to trade down if somebody blows them away with an offer. The Patriots, I think, could go either way, take a quarterback or trade back from three. A strong sense that around that place that the Giants like J.J. McCarthy. But if that's the case, can they stay at six and get him, or do they have to move up to get him depending on what other people are doing? So I think it's very interesting and still very undecided in terms of how the quarterbacks are going
to
go.
So interesting. Which team do you think would be more likely to trade out, New England at three or Arizona at four?
Oh, I think, well, that's an interesting question. I think probably Arizona because, you know, they're in a situation where they don't have the compulsion to take a quarterback that New England might feel. So it really is going to depend on the offer. And depends if you're Arizona, it depends on what happens going 1, 2, 3. But if you're New England, it could depend on what happens at 1 and 2. If you feel really good about two of these three guys and they're the first two gone, that makes you more likely to trade out. So the answer to your question really is about, well, who goes first and who goes second? And then how does New England feel about what's left over?
We're talking with Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. You said if anyone tells you that they know how the quarterbacks are going to go off the board, they're lying to you. That said, do you believe as we sit here today, we will have four quarterbacks within the top five picks?
I think it's possible. It's still hard for me to predict that because it's so unusual. Has it ever? I know it's never happened. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is four in the top five ever happened? I don't think so. So, I mean, it's possible. Look, if they go 1, 2, 3 and then the Giants are panicking and they worried about that now someone's going to trade up in front of them to take J.J. McCarthy, that's all it would take. But those deals are tricky, and they're especially tricky in the window on draft night when you have to make a pick. So, yeah, I would probably lean toward no just because of how historic that would be. But, you know, you can certainly see the path to it.
Graz, there has been a lot of movement in terms of rules changes for the upcoming season after the NFL owners' meetings. In your mind, which is the one that's going to dramatically impact what viewers are going to watch at home when football season kicks off this fall?
The kickoff. It's going to look completely different. Yeah. Like people are going to turn that on and go, what is this? Everyone's going to be lined up right next to each other on the returning team side of the field, and they're not going to be able to move till the ball lands. That's going to take some getting used to. And honestly, like, for the first couple days of the meetings, it seemed like there was a strong push for this change to happen, but it's still, they were kept delaying the vote. And I kept asking, like, what are the people who are opposed to it? What are the grounds for that opposition? And all anybody could ever say was, well, they just feel like it's weird. Like, it just looks weird. It feels weird. It's going to take some getting used to. So I think for the viewer, that is going to be the without question, the game will look a heck of a lot different when it starts and after anyone scores than it ever has before.
I thought you were going to say banning the hip drop tackles, but maybe that's just the defensive player in me.
I think the defensive players are not happy about that one. No. But I don't think it's going to be. You know, they were telling us that technique was used, the specific hip drop technique that they banned, where they, you know, where you land with all your body weight on the guy's legs, was up 65% over the year before. So I guess part of their point is like, well, you were getting by fine without it, and it's highly dangerous, so let's get rid of it. And I know, I understand that the defensive players
might as well put flags on the offensive players.
I get it.
Now.
I understand. Flags on the guys. I understand.
Just saying.
Dan, I want to go back to the draft for a second. What caused J.J. McCarthy's draft stock to rise so much? Because at the beginning of this, we put him in a category with a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix. And now he's not only in the conversation with Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, but we're talking about him maybe going before some of those guys. So what happened between the national championship game and now that his stock rose so quickly?
I think when you see that happen, it's not a matter of the player's stock rising quickly as much as it's a matter of us catching up with what the league thinks, right? So heading into the combine, the sense I was getting was, hey, teams like J.J. McCarthy more than you might think they do. And I think with J.J. McCarthy, a lot of the issue is what was he asked to do, right? Like, was he carried by a great team, a great running game, a great defense? And to some extent, yes, obviously he was, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have the traits teams look for. It doesn't mean he doesn't have the leadership qualities. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the physical skills. So I think we might have been inclined to see him as part of that second-tier group, whereas teams might have viewed him as something better than that second-tier group. And I think that as we learn more about their opinions and what they like, that's when the stock seems to rise, because we're sort of catching up with the opinion. Teams did have questions. I mean, you know, he still comes with some size concerns, although he's answered them throughout this draft process. And there are the concerns about, you know, what was he asked to do. But it feels like those questions are being answered in ways that teams are happy about, and I think that's probably what causes the effect you're talking about.
Graz, in recent drafts, we've seen a lot of veteran players be traded. I'm curious to know, as we get closer to the drafts, are there any names that we should be paying attention to that could potentially be on the move?
Sure, the wide receivers, right? I mean, until somebody gets signed, until somebody at the top of the wide receiver market gets signed, be it Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, or whoever, no one really knows what to pay these guys. And so, you know, the Niners would like to extend Brandon Ayuk rather than trade him. If something happens in the market where they feel like they have to extend too far, then maybe they change their mind. Is T. Higgins going to make life difficult for the Bengals and force his way out of there? So, you know, those are two guys at the top end wide receivers that I think you have to watch depending on what else happens in the wide receiver market between now and then.
Gross, we got about 30 seconds here. So if the teams that need quarterbacks, Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, etc., don't get any of the first round drafted quarterbacks, could other teams, Arizona with Kyler Murray, Seattle with Geno Smith, say, okay, well, let's take advantage of the market and try to make a big deal that way?
Well, in that case, for instance, if you're Arizona or Seattle, what are you doing at quarterback if you trade those guys, right? So that's the question. If Denver got shut out and Minnesota got shut out, then probably Arizona did too, right? So they don't necessarily have a good fallback. I don't get the sense that Arizona, I mean, unless they are really, really convincing liars, I really don't get the sense Arizona is thinking about moving on from Kyler Murray. He's signed there. They like the way he came back from his injury and played, and I think they're full steam ahead with him. I'd be shocked, and I would be impressed with their ability to deceive if it turned out to be the case.
Dan Graziano, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Thank you so much for the time. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yesterday, ESPN Bet released over-unders for the NFL season. Already, over-unders NFL season have been released courtesy of ESPN Bet. So we are going to each give two overs, two unders. Very early, March 28th version of this, over-unders for the NFL. Smalls, kick us off. Your two overs, your two unders here.
Okay, two overs that I have. This one might surprise you. But I have the over on the Chicago Bears. They have 8.5 wins. I'm going to take the over on that one. Based on the way they ended the season, the talent that they've acquired, I'm assuming Caleb Williams is going to be added to that mix. I have a good feeling about the Bears. That might be a misguided good feeling because they tend to let me down. But I'm going to take the over a little cautiously, take the over on the Chicago Bears.
I like it. I had that on my list, too. I like it.
The other one, that other over I'm going to take is the Pittsburgh Steelers over. Sitting there at 8.5, you know that with Mike Tomlin, you're going to start with a winning season. I like the additions of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to that quarterback room. I'm going to take the over on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Love that one. Cordarrelle Patterson last week as well, especially with the new kickoff rules and a weapon under Arthur Smith we had in Atlanta. Like that. All right, your unders, Smalls.
My unders. Okay, let me pull this up really quickly. Sorry, was not prepared. Okay, so another kind of shocking one based on the talent acquired on that team. I'm going to take the Browns under at 8.5. I just don't believe in them because I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be. They're in an incredibly tough division with teams around them just getting better. Pittsburgh getting better. Baltimore getting better. Cincinnati is getting Joe Burrow back. I can't believe in Cleveland, despite what they were able to do last year without a steady quarterback situation, until I see what Deshaun Watson is going to be this year and how that's going to bear out. So I'm going to take the under on Cleveland. And then the other one I had, let me pull it up here. Sorry, guys. It's the Tennessee Titans under. They're sitting there at 6.5. I don't know what this team is. I don't really believe in them. So I'm going to take the under on Tennessee.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. So for my overs, I'm going to start this thing off with the Washington Commanders. 6.5, I think that's way too low. They've got a last-place schedule because they finished last in the NFC East. But I like the idea of what the Washington Commanders are doing. Hiring Dan Quinn, a veteran coach that we've seen have success, got a team to the Super Bowl. Most importantly, we saw what Dan Quinn did with the Atlanta Falcons defense when he got the job, how that got turned around. We saw what he did with the Dallas Cowboys defense when he got the job. Remember, the Cowboys defense was all-time bad. He took over. It's one of the most elite defensive units in all of football. So I like that with the ingredients that he's got to work with on that side of the ball. He brought in some former lieutenants. He brought in Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler Jr. from Dallas. He also brought in Bobby Wagner. They signed Frankie Louvu. I like the pieces that they've got on the defensive side of the ball, but I also like the preparation that they've had in terms of being able to break in a rookie quarterback, a guy that they'd be poised to take with at number two. No matter who the quarterback ends up being, I think they're walking into a good situation. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, but then you've got Nick Allegretti and Tyler Biadasz, two interior offensive linemen, to fortify the fabric of that pocket, and then the receivers you got to work with, man. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, those guys are just gamers, and Brian Robinson Jr. is sneaky underrated as a running back. So I like the Washington Commanders. I'm bullish on them. I'll go with the over on the 6.5. And then my other over, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm buying into it. I think Trevor Lawrence is a top 10 quarterback. I think the only reason why that team fell apart down the stretch is because Trevor Lawrence wasn't healthy. He was dealing with knee, ankle, concussion, and a sprained shoulder. Like, Trevor Lawrence had a lot of injuries down the stretch, and I think you can see the correlation or the link between his physical ailments and the team regressing. They got off to an 8-3 start. I think that's more of who they are, and they're going to get back to business this year. I like the addition of Mitch Morse on that offensive line. Again, if your quarterback's not healthy, fortifying that offensive line and making sure that you can protect him, keep him upright, makes a difference. I also think Doug Peterson is a good coach, so having another year in that scheme is going to make a difference. And then my unders, give me the Jets. I mean, the Jets, they're 9.5 win total. I'm fading that one. I mean, what's understood ain't got to be said. We've gone chapter and verse on that one. And then my other under might surprise you a little bit, but it's another team in the NFC East. If I've got the Washington Commanders going up, somebody's got to come down. How about the Philadelphia Eagles?
What's the number?
10.5.
So they can win 10, and you hit on that, theoretically.
I can hit on that, but I think the Eagles are closer to a wild card than they are getting back to the Super Bowl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like this is a team that's probably going to be relegated to wild card status. And the biggest reason why is the leadership drain in that locker room. Losing Jason Kelce, losing Fletcher Cox, that is going to have an impact on your team because those guys are two all-time great Eagles. So when you lose that type of leadership, it's going to affect the chemistry and the overall product on the field. So I'm going to fade the Philadelphia Eagles. We've got to remember, Nick Sirianni's on the hot seat, too. Nobody really knows what Nick Sirianni does on that coaching staff. So, I mean, like, we're waiting to see whether or not, you know, Nick Sirianni can actually prove his worth as a head coach in the National Football League, right? We know his coordinators, Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, were good 2 years ago. That's why they ended up in the Super Bowl. But I'm fading the Philadelphia Eagles this year. It kind of has that dream team feel to it.
All right, good ones. Here we go. Over-unders. ESPN Bet released them yesterday. So the worst team in the NFL usually is going to have between 2 and 4 wins. You got to find someone that is going to be in that range. And I will pick the Denver Broncos. 5.5 to me, based on the roster they have, an enormous number. So I will take the under at 5.5 on the Denver Broncos. You're giving me a look on that. I think they're going to have the number one pick in the draft next year. I think they're going to try to have the number one pick in the draft. They stink.
When you said that, I thought you were going to go Carolina.
No.
Because I almost took the under on that 4.5.
No, because that's literally winning 2 games 1 year and 3 or 4 the next. I don't see it. I think Denver has proven that they are the one team that should target the number one pick in the draft next year. Give me a Denver under. If Denver's going to lose a ton of games, somebody's got to win games in that division. I think one of the easiest picks is the Chargers over 8.5. They have a top 5 coach in the NFL right now, and he has never coached a game for him. Jim Harbaugh is unbelievable, and Jim Harbaugh will make Justin Herbert great. That's an easy pick for me. So Denver under, Chargers over. Interestingly enough, my next two picks here, I know I'm going back and forth on this. My next two picks all are opposite smalls because I had opposite two of the ones that you made, so I'm going to lean into those.
Okay.
Cleveland over 8.5. They have proven, regardless of who their quarterback is, they can win games.
That's a dangerous game to play,
I understand. I think Deshaun Watson on
be,
field.
You're going to be puckered the whole time.
I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a good year this year.
Why?
Because he's got no choice anymore. And I know he owns the franchise.
We said that last year.
This year feels different for me.
So all of a sudden he's going to turn the Jets on?
Coming off of shoulder surgery.
I'm telling you.
What?
I'll take the over.
What?
I just got to get to 9. I just got to get to 9-8 with this team. So I have no problem taking the over.
In that division?
No problem.
I'm like,
no problem.
Am I taking crazy bills here?
The next one. I think people are sleeping on a team. I think the Tennessee Titans actually, once they made the ridiculous decision of getting rid of Vrabel, actually acted very intelligently this offseason. What do I mean by that? They have a quarterback making nothing in Will Levis. So when you have a quarterback making nothing, that is the time you actually spend on the pieces around him. They made a bunch of additions, including Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard. They went out there and made some nice moves, and their number's only 6.5. I don't think that division is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be better than we've seen, obviously. I think I agree with you on the Jacksonville over at 8.5. I also think that I would have maybe taken Houston as an under at 9.5, maybe to go 9-8 and kind of a sophomore slump here. Give me Tennessee over at 6.5.
But you don't know what Will Levis is as a quarterback, and you don't really know what Brian Callahan's going to be as a head coach.
I understand, but I got his dad coaching the offensive line. That's a win. Best offensive line coach right now in the league.
Well, they're going to need him because it was one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line last year.
And they spent money there. They still have a high pick. Like, I'm in on the Titans being respectable this year. I don't need them to win 10 games. In this, I need them to win 7. That's it. So there you go. Over-unders, ESPN bet. Guys, Vegas East.
Oh, Vegas East.
The Charmed Watch Party. Best and worst picks from your perspective over there.
I'm loving the Eagles under. I mean, like, that's...
Well, as a Giants fan, dude,
I'm hating that one.
And as an Eagles fan,
well,
you hate it.
I love the one you guys didn't want to talk about, the Patriots over-under on 4.5. It's going
to
be that
I don't bad. Know. I the reason I didn't pick that, I have no idea what to expect from that team.
No clue.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Who the quarterback is, I don't know anything about the head coach as a head coach. There's so much mystery there.
But how could you not trust the organization, though? Like, I trust
Belichick and Brady aren't there.
Yeah, but I trust the Patriots, though. I mean, they made the hard decision to move on from a legend in Bill Belichick. It was time. It was time, and they did it, and they had a clear plan for succession. I just trust the plan. Like, with the way that team can play defense and knowing how Gerard Mayo is cut as a player, playing against them, like, they are going to be hard-nosed. They are going to be physical. Yep, I have no doubt
that
about
I agree
that.
With.
And they can play defense. Like, they have the pieces on that side of the ball. They're going to run into wins this year just by virtue of playing harder than other people. So I don't
so
think
so. Five
it's,
over? Would you take? It's 4.5?
I would probably take the over.
If you had to take it
yeah,
over
five
under
and
them?
12, 6 and 11, I could see that. Absolutely, all day.
Very quickly, other couple ones that I was considering, Miami 9.5 under.
I considered that one as well.
I actually considered the Jets over, oddly enough. I can't believe I was considering
You're
that.
Smoking.
Well, I didn't pick it. I didn't pick it.
You're smoking.
I'll tell you another one. Detroit under at 10.5.
Ooh. Because of the division?
Yeah, the division is significantly better, and winning 10 games is still a great season.
I think you can see, that's a dangerous game, too, though, because I think you could have two double-digit win teams in that division.
I agree.
I think it's that kind of division.
They're the Lions and the Packers?
Really, yeah, I think they're going to be really, really good.
The other one I had, Vegas under at 6.5.
Ooh.
I think they had the interim coach bump last year. I don't know what's going to happen this year. And that, you know, Kansas City's going to be great, we know, and the Chargers are going to be significantly better. Coming up, Pat Costello, I'm over it. Next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes! Each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items in and around sports and entertainment that he is over. But before we hand it off to Pat, I do want to tell everybody about True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner, Pat.
Why do the Phillies get no respect? Like, how many more deep playoff runs do the Phillies have to make before they'll get a little bit of love from everybody? I mean, all they've done is beat, I don't know, the Braves twice in the playoffs, the Padres, who were supposed to be really good, and yet we get no love. I don't understand it. A little bit of love for the Phillies, a little bit of respect that they're a pretty good baseball team who are probably going to win a lot of games this year just off of friendship and good vibes alone. Just some respect, please.
Winning games off of friendship.
And good vibes.
Friendship and good vibes.
Yeah.
That's a Michelle Smallman type angle, and I don't even think Michelle Smallman would take that angle.
I do love that angle, Pat, but I also don't know who's disrespecting the Phillies. Are you saying because people aren't picking them to go to the World Series?
At all. Everyone just said, oh, the Braves. Braves is the best team in baseball, or the good. Dodgers. That's just it. We might as well not even play the games.
All right, I'll pick them to win the World Series right now. Phillies are winning the World Series. So if they don't,
oh, that is the KOD if
I
ever heard it.
Terrible job if they don't.
Best of luck with that one, Pat.
Terrible job. Bryce Harper just announced he's having a third kid. Good vibes around them, right?
Totally good vibes.
All right, so there you go, Pat. Phillies winning the World Series. If they don't, I'm coming after you.
Appreciate that. I think there are too many home improvement shows now. I don't like how many we have. There were some great ones originally, and now we've just gotten to the point where it's just like, I'm not even sure the person who's fixing this house can, like, make toast, but apparently they're going to fix this entire house. It feels like, you know, remember Pimp My Ride where they were fixing all these cars?
Yeah.
And then, like, 5 years later, you'd see the car, and it was like, yeah, all they did was put some paint on it and add, like, a PS2 in the back. That's what it feels like they're doing with these houses now.
So what was the show that was the tipping point for you with all of these home improvements?
I don't even know what it was. I saw a commercial for it while watching Charmed. And I was like,
oh my God. The Charmed watch party continues.
And I was I've never, who are these people? Why do all these people just get house improvement shows now? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I can't get enough of them now.
I love them.
I mean, Selling Sunset, buying Beverly Hills.
But that's real estate.
Married to Real Estate with Mike and Egypt Sherrod. Like, I love all of these shows. House Hunters. I can't get enough of them. I love them.
But those are trying to acquire the properties. You're talking about they're going to go into this house and redo the living room, right, Pat?
Yeah.
Or the whole house.
I mean, the HGTV shows are awesome, too, though. Like, I love those.
Yeah,
I
but not
them.
All of them.
Yeah, he's like No Demo Remo, Property Brothers.
Property Brothers is cool.
I like Property Brothers.
No Demo Reno, I'm over that one. Like, House Hunters is awesome.
Hometown.
It's just too much.
Where are we with Beachfront Bargains?
Beachfront Bargain Hunt?
I like that,
I haven't seen
it. That's not a bad one, yeah.
I will say this. A lot of those home reno shows, all of the renos look the same. A lot of shiplap, you know what I mean?
All right, I give you one.
That's not fair.
I give you one channel to watch in addition to all the ESPN family of networks, of
Fixer
course.
Upper is an all-time great, though. Right. Yeah. Chip and Joanna Gaines, that's another really good one.
I'm putting feet to the fire. You have one network to watch in addition to all ESPN. You could watch either HGTV or Food Network.
Food Network
HGTV.
All day.
HGTV.
It's the hardest debate in the history of debates. I'm telling you right now. I'd probably go Food Network, but it's hard.
It's not a debate.
It's a debate.
It's HGTV.
It's a debate.
It's HGTV.
HGTV. I mean, Little John wants to do what to your house?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Little John has a show on HGTV.
Yeah.
Pat, what about you? Food Network or HGTV?
Probably Food Network.
Javante?
I probably end up watching more.
I'll go with the Food Network.
Yeah. Okay. All Team right. Food Network over here.
All right. So we got, what, 4-3 Food Network and 2 HGTV. All right. Next one.
The majority can be wrong sometimes.
only if you're part of the other side.
It happens.
How come there are no famous painters anymore? I feel like we used to have a lot of famous painters like way back in the day, and now there's just no more famous painters. What happened to them all? Why aren't they famous anymore? We got like Banksy. No one even knows who he is. And I guess that's just like wall art. It barely even counts.
I mean,
what happened to the painters?
The most famous painter for me is Howard Stern, who's a big-time painter now, and it's unbelievable.
Howard Stern?
Okay, relax. Relax.
I'm dead serious.
What are we talking about?
He's phenomenal at it.
Howard Stern's not a painter.
He's a great painter.
I mean, he might paint. He's not a painter.
But what about, like, the guys that do all, like you said, the what's the guy, Alec Monopoly? Isn't that someone?
Alec Monopoly?
I'm telling you. Look that guy up. There's somebody named Alec Monopoly. Like, the street art, I'm telling you. Yeah, this is a guy, Alec Monopoly. Big-time painter guy.
And he's a DJ.
So you can have multiple jobs. Deion Sanders played football and baseball.
I mean, Kahinde Wiley is an amazing painter. Amy Sherald is an amazing painter.
You guys are just making these names
Catherine
up.
Catherine Bernhardt, also massive on the painting artist. Scene. Like, shout out St. Louis.
There's some really good artists out there.
Sounds like this backfires
I just
for
feel
you,
like you're just not no, as cultured as
yeah,
you
Pat,
probably
when's the last time
Pat?
That you went to a gallery or an art museum?
I'm pretty sure you guys just made all those names up.
Okay.
Definitely
I don't think any of those are
real. Definitely did not. Very expensive artwork, though.
Yes.
To get a Kahinde painting?
He painted the president.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And then Amy Sherald did Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Do you have, like, nice paintings in your home, either of you?
No, I don't.
My wife and I do want to get into collecting, but we haven't gotten there yet.
I don't like a lot of things on the walls for some reason. I like it kind of simple.
Like a jail cell?
Like a what?
Like a jail cell.
How do you take what I just said and then make it into a jail cell?
Because I picture white
not
walls.
Not a lot of things on the walls in a jail cell. I got that. I see how she made that leap, yeah.
You think I live in a jail cell?
Well, you said
nothing is
nothing
on the
walls.
Why would you choose not to have anything on the
like
wall?
I like simplicity.
You don't have a clock on the wall?
A clock? Who has a clock anymore?
Who has clocks?
You don't, clocks. Y'all don't have a clock in the house?
No, what am I? Flavor Flav?
This is
I have
my
one
clock.
On the oven.
Phone. That's the only clock.
This is my clock.
So you don't have a wall clock in your house?
No, phone, microwave.
So you have to, like, microwave. Anytime you want to look up, you have to check your phone.
Yes.
I'm on Twitter 24/7 anyway.
Okay.
I'm already there.
Strange. Okay. All right.
So you don't have any art in your home?
We do. We have a little bit.
The kids paint.
My wife can paint. Seriously, she paints stuff and puts. Yeah, seriously.
Who's better at painting, your wife or Howard Stern?
Howard Stern.
Wow.
He is, and I love my wife. I love Howard too. So I don't know.
But you don't like when your wife puts the artwork up on the walls. You just said you don't like things on the walls.
I'm not a big fan. No, not a big fan when it's up on the walls.
You know what I love? A gallery wall.
Exactly. Love it.
You know what I don't love? A plain wall.
Yeah. You need a focal point on it, right?
You do. Exactly. It's showcasing the vibe of the room,
exactly.
Your aesthetic taste.
It speaks to your personality.
Absolutely.
Exactly. All of the things.
It curates the feeling of the space.
I like that. It curates the vibes in the space.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, my jail cell, we're not allowed to because we can't put up the nails. We can't have those in my cell. Anything else, Pat?
Yeah, I don't understand shoe culture, and I never will. In my younger years, I tried to get into it, but I'm at the point where I'm just like, they're sneakers, get over yourself.
Oh, this is a really good topic that deserves more time because I also don't understand it. It feels like people just want them not because they look good, but because they're a limited drop.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to wear them, then what's the point? I don't get
resale,
it.
Resale, I guess?
I still don't get it. It's an investment.
I mean, some people look at it that way.
But some of them
it's fine,
are not.
But you got to wear
they
it,
They don't
though.
Look good.
We're on sports market.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.